You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi everyone, this is Shovik and welcome to the Mint TechCetera podcast. I cover technology for Mint, where we try to make boring tech sound cool for you and hope that we don't end up making cool tech sound boring. Tune in as we decode the latest from the world of technology in India and around the world every week. Today's episode will be presented to you by RJ Ayush, who's a radio jockey with Fever FM and hosts his own tech show called Tech Panti. Over to you, Ayush.
This episode is brought to you by GE Healthcare. Cancer, an unyielding adversary, continues to be a formidable challenge, affecting millions of lives worldwide. In India, 1 in 9 people are likely to develop cancer in their lifetime. India witnesses approximately 1.2 million new cases every year, 2.5 million prevalent cases, with 500,000 cancer deaths per year. The demand for radiotherapy in India is increasing on account of the rise in cancer cases in the country. As the cancer rate continues to grow, technologies such as artificial intelligence have rapidly emerged as a powerful tool in healthcare. Did you know India's AI in the diagnostics market is expected to grow at a CAGR of 38%, increasing from $0.02 billion in 2022 to $0.24 billion by 2030? Join us today as we unravel the future of oncology and the ongoing challenges in the realm of AI and precision care. In today's episode, we have Chaitanya Sarvate and Manikandan Bala. Chaitanya Sarvate is the President and CEO at GE Healthcare South Asia and Managing Director of Wipro GE Healthcare, a leading global medical technology, diagnostics and digital solutions innovator. Manikandan Bala, Mani, is the Senior Vice President at Elekta, a global medical technology company specializing in radiation therapy, radiosurgery and clinical solutions for cancer treatment. Welcome, Chaitanya and Mani. It's my pleasure to have two esteemed guests for today's episode. So Mani, let's discuss with you first. Despite advancements in cancer care, what do you think are today's biggest challenges to treatment in the Indian context?
Actually, yes, over the last decade or so, we have seen significant improvement in comprehensive cancer care in this country. Nevertheless, cancer burden in this country is exponentially rising. 20 to 22 lakhs of cases gets added as new patients on an every year basis. That's the huge burden which we are talking of. Of course, this is a reported number of cases. You know, we would anticipate almost twice or even three times these numbers not reported out there. So that's the quantum of challenge which we are talking of. Well, there are multiple types of cancers, as we all know, and India is struggling mainly from five, six of them, namely the breast, the lung, the oral, the cervical, and the colorectal cancers. Now, while we are talking of these types of cancers, again, these are not necessarily homogeneously spread, which means across the country, these differ substantially. So it is not like we take one sample from a small part and then we say, okay, this is the scene. No, it's different from place to place. Again, from a gap standpoint, there's a huge gap. WHO, for example, as an estimate, wants the country at least one LINAC per million population as the conservative estimate to treat cancer. In fact, developing countries have 4 or 5 per million. Unfortunately, in India, with a population of 1.35 billion, we have hardly 650 to 670 LINACs, which means we are lagging somewhere around 0.4 LINACs per million. So that picturizes the huge gap which we have. And even within the spread across the country, we have 70-75% of the cases reported from tier 2, tier 3 cities. Whereas if you map the infrastructure, almost 80% of the cancer care infrastructure is presently in the tier 1 cities. So that's the other gap which substantially aggravates the challenge which we are facing. So these are the few challenges, Ayush.
Fantastic. And Manit, like, moving on to the next question, how do you plan to bridge the existing gap in cancer care? Like, as you rightly said, that India with 1.35 billion population, there's a huge gap in cancer care. So what is the plan to bridge that gap?
So let's briefly understand what these challenges are leading to in terms of what the patients and the healthcare providers struggle with. First and foremost, all these disparities lead to access or lack of access. So that's the biggest challenge which we have in this country. The patients out there, especially the ones in the tier 2, tier 3 cities, do not have an access for a comprehensive cancer care program. And more so in terms of the high-end technologies like LINAC, which are becoming an essential part of the treatment. You'll be surprised to know that 50% of the cancer patients will require radiation at some point of time, whereas India is at this point of time at somewhere around 18 to 20%. So there's again a huge gap because of the access issues. And how do we address the access issues? We clearly look at equipping tier 2, tier 3 cities with technology. When I say technology, I am talking of equipment like LINACs. I am talking of connecting these equipment through digitization and so on and so forth. The other challenge which comes into this whole system is manpower or the skill set or the clinicians behind this equipment. It is not enough for us to just get the equipment in. All the more important for us to get the doctors, the physicists, the technicians, people who can operate these machines. And when it comes to tier 2, tier 3, the scarcity is a lot more. And that is where we again step in terms of training and development of people. We do have partnership with teaching institutes like, say, Anna University, where the students going through courses there are already trained so that by the time they come out, they can be market ready and start treating patients. So that's the skill development which we have for the new people. Also, for the existing clinicians, the oncologists, the physicists, the technology keeps changing quite frequently. I mean, there are new innovations coming in, there are upgradations coming in, and they have to be at the top of their knowledge scale for them to deliver the right cancer care to the patients. So that's the other area which we are partnering with both private and the public healthcare systems to ensure that we set up skill development centers across, which is also, by the way, a focus area from the government standpoint. So skill development is the second one. As the cancers kind of change its characteristics, I don't want to use the word mutate, but it is also pertinent for us to ensure that multiple innovations continue to happen in terms of technology. So that's the other front which we are focusing on. You know, new age linear accelerators. In fact, recently we have also introduced linear accelerators which can get customized to tier 2, tier 3 cities in terms of power requirements, in terms of space requirements, understanding the concerns faced by the tier 3, tier 4 cities. There are LINACs being introduced by us which fill those space. Also recently we have introduced the high-end technology, the MR LINAC. You know, this significantly reduces the time required to treat because it does permit us to use a lot higher radiation in a short time, which means extremely good efficiency and productivity, which means the patient who will typically get treated for, say, 8 weeks in a conventional LINAC can probably get treated within a week. He or she goes home, goes to work very soon, and therefore the productivity, the cost associated, all these are savings in terms of innovation. So we continue to innovate in terms of the offerings which we give. So last but not the least, digitization plays a very important role. We are going to take ages to bridge the gap which I was speaking about. Digitization makes that easier. Connect the tier 3, tier 4 cities to the tier 1 cities where we have the expertise. The patients far away also get the same standard of care what the tier 1 patients get. And that's the first point. Second is we have rolled out software solutions which will ensure that the patient is a part of the care pathway. Today, the patients come, get treatment, and are not necessarily in touch with the clinician post the treatment. These solutions ensure that the patient is connected 24/7. And in case there is an emergency, irrespective of where he is or she is, the clinician is immediately updated and steps taken. So these are from the patient end, the digitization. the one important thing is, while we are articulating the various forms of cancer, where and how the solutions need to be customized, we don't necessarily have a good documentation of all these cases. Where is it happening? What is the treatment? What is the outcome? So on and so forth. Registry is the word for it. So we have solutions to ensure that this documentation happens. And once we have the right data, decision making is that much better. And so digitization is the last pillar where we are working towards so that the patients get better patient care or treatment care.
Fantastic answer. Thank you so much for that answer. Moving to Chaitanya. Chaitanya, how will it help deliver better patient outcomes in case of complex diseases like cancer?
Very nice question, Ayush. And I think it's always, you know, we hear about precision care. So it's always good to unbundle a little bit in terms of what we mean by it. So I think first, let me just build upon what Mani mentioned a little while earlier. There are almost 20 to 25 lakh cancer cases that get diagnosed every year in India. And I think that is grossly underrepresented given the low detection rates that we have. I think based upon the National Cancer Registry, we expect that the cancer burden in India will grow by almost 12.5% between 2020 and 2025. So clearly, the burden of cancer is increasing, and the amount of undetected cancers that remains in India is quite substantial. Now, with a problem that large, the solution that needs to be implemented in India needs to be multifaceted. It needs to focus on preventing. And so that's the portion where we ensure that patients don't actually develop cancer to begin with. Secondly, to make sure that if they do develop, or at least we are able to identify the patients who are going to develop, so predictability or being able to have predictive care. And then the last one is when they do happen to have cancer and they are going through the treatment pathway, that we are able to personalize the treatments that they are receiving, personalize the care that they are receiving. That is essentially the precision care. So now, why is that important? So cancer is a complex disease. It presents itself amongst patients differently. And that is because of the different genetic makeup that patients have, different lifestyle choices that they have made, different ways that the cancer manifests itself in the patients. So naturally, it is not a homogeneous single disease that presents itself in the patients. And we need to make sure that in order to counter a multifaceted variable disease like cancer, our treatment pathway needs to be personalized for the type of cancer and the way it is manifesting in the patient. And that is essentially precision care. When we think about it, the way that that translates in terms of benefits for patients is obviously when you have a personalized therapy or personalized care, which is based upon diagnosis of the individual's circumstances, individual's conditions, individual symptoms, then A, you are able to ensure that there is better effectiveness of the treatment. B, the remission rates become better. But C, for access and a cost-constrained environment such as in India, there is not as much wastage of therapy which would not have worked in the patients getting used. And so I think precision care can really transform the patient care pathway that the patient has to go through, can really transform the outcomes that the patient has, and can really transform some of the ill effects or side effects that they face through the therapy. Avoiding those ill effects is something that is also possible with precision care. And so I think that's the way I think about precision care. That's the way I define precision care. And that's the benefit of precision care when you think about it. I think it is perfectly suited for a complex disease such as cancer care. And I think it is aligned a little bit also with the way our government is rolling out different policies in order to make sure that we are able to improve access to care in India, across India. I think we want to have the most cost-effective care in India so that we are able to cover the largest bunch of population that we have. And I think one of the ways of doing that is ensuring that the precision care reduces the waste in the treatments, and so it allows the limited amount of dollars to be used over a larger amount of patients. So it aligns with the government's policy as well. And so I think that is how I define precision care and sort of what it means for cancer care.
Wonderful answer, Chaitanya. And moving on to the next question, I need both of your insights on this question. But first, Chaitanya, could you please elaborate on how GE Healthcare's collaboration with Elekta is set to enhance the overall cancer care journey for the patients?
Sure. And I think wonderful question. And I'm very glad to talk about this partnership. It is something that is sorely needed in the Indian healthcare system. And I think by bringing the strengths of the two organizations together, we think that it can significantly change the way the cancer care gets delivered in India. So specifically, I think both of us have technology and we are leaders in our own domains. So if you think about it, cancer care consists of essentially three steps. The first step is diagnosis. The second step is treatment. And the third step is monitoring. And I think GE Healthcare has a significant technology leadership, whether you take it in diagnostics, whether it is in diagnosing cancer through our mammography products, whether it is diagnosing the progress of cancer through our PET CT products, whether it is in ensuring that we are able to pinpoint where treatment such as radiation therapy needs to be given through our radiotherapy planning CT, as well as we have leadership position on the monitoring side of the equation, where we are able to do monitoring inside the hospital as well as outside the hospital of the patient to make sure that we are able to track progress, remission, et cetera, of the patient going through the therapeutics. And I think when I look at Elekta, they are absolutely the leaders in terms of giving therapies to the patients who are suffering from cancer. And I think Mani will cover that quite well. And he actually covered some of the benefits of Elekta's products earlier on in terms of getting the patient through the cycle of radiation therapy in a faster pace, making sure that we are able to deliver care in a precise fashion. So I think coming together of these two sort of leaders in their individual domain in a complementary fashion substantially increases our ability to give a continuum of care to the patient. And at the end of the day, when the patient benefits because of this delivery of sort of comprehensive care with precision in mind, personalized for the individual patient's condition, we significantly improve outcomes, we significantly reduce wastage, we significantly enhance the access to care across India. And I think that all of those items are important for India, given that we have had issues in terms of low access to care. I think Mani mentioned about radiation therapy being only available to a small proportion of the population, given the install base that is there of radiation therapy machines. The diagnostic equipments and the monitoring equipments that we have being available to a small group of population. So I think that is the change of course that we can do by coming together. And I think we can build upon that by adding other things which are very specific to India conditions. So for example, we have intentions along with Elekta to be able to enhance capability of staffing, capability of customers to be able to access this technology, to make sure that the technology works together. And it also allows us the opportunity to be able to, you know, in certain cases, make sure that the product that is designed not just for metros, but also for tier twos and tier three towns, so that it becomes widespread and prevalent. So I think that is essentially how I see the two organizations coming together, changing the face of oncology care in the years to come.
Wonderful. Mani, if I could have your insights on the same collaborative effort.
Great. So let me start from the patients. Whatever we are doing, we are doing it for the patients, for them to get the best cancer care. What is happening today is while patients are struggling with cancer, it is not the same across every patient. The disease is slightly different from person to person. So the treatment required, it is also going to be customized and obviously for the specific patient. But what is happening today as a challenge is because of multiple interoperability challenges within the technology from various companies, the healthcare provider restricts his or her options to a limited source or resources. That's limiting the options available to the patient. And Elekta, while we are in the forefront of giving the best of technology in terms of the cancer treatment, the rest of it is, at this point of time, left to the restrictions which I mentioned. And that is where this partnership with GE is very significant. What does it bring to the table? To start with, the flexibility for the healthcare provider to go with the combination of Elekta and GE, which has end-to-end solutions to whatever issues or challenges which he or she faces with the patients. And therefore, the patient ends up getting the best cancer care using the entire combination wing-to-wing of both GE and Elekta put together. The second is about innovation. We are talking of cancers advancing, treatment, and so on and so forth. And therefore, these great companies, GE and Elekta, coming together also paves way for multiple innovation and interfaces between these technologies available. We are already starting to see quite a few of these interfaces rolled out. Going forward, we will find a lot more, which will invariably lead to effectiveness. Of course, the last one is about access, creating access. Using GE's network, Elekta can increase the presence. Using Elekta's network, GE can increase presence, which ultimately will lead to better access for the patient. Now, what does the healthcare provider or the patient get out of this? Again, I just narrated what GE and Elekta is going to get benefited to, but also from a patient and healthcare standpoint. First and foremost, delivering as advanced therapies with enhanced patient care. This combination of GE's technology, Elekta's technology, GE and Elekta going to the market on the training, on the customized product, so on and so forth, it will offer a basket of powerful technologies. Without going into details, examples are like MR-SIM, so on and so forth. MR-SIM with an MR-Linac. MR-SIM from GE with an MR-Linac from Elekta would be a phenomenal combination out there. So that's an example of what I mentioned as advanced therapies. Second is, without sacrificing the quality of care, how do we be effective? You know, it's all about effectiveness, it's all about productivity as well. And that is where GE and Elekta are combining their thoughts together, innovative solutions, innovative product offering, kind of risk sharing, and so on and so forth. So these options will be available a lot more to the healthcare providers, who in turn can leverage it and give the patients the best care which the patients are asking for. Last but not the least, ensuring that the future-proof is on the future-proof workflows, which means primarily the digitization, the efforts around all the products which GE has, which Elekta has around the software applications, will ensure a lot more efficiency and productivity for the workforce, which are the clinicians and the physicians and whatnot, behind these technologies, who again, end of the day, deliver the best patient care possible. So overall, this combination is a great way to look at how do we deliver the best patient care and how do we increase the access to as much patients out there. We are not just manufacturing machines and technologies. We are here to bring hope to all those cancer patients who are struggling.
Fantastic answer, and I'm really happy that two huge industry leaders have collaborated together to make medical and medtech industry go ahead and give precision care to all the cancer patients who are fighting a battle against cancer. Let us move forward. We spoke about the advancements. We talked about the challenges. Chaitanya, what according to you does the future hold for oncology? It would be great if you can shed some light on the key trends that you foresee in India's medtech sector to support the delivery of quality care.
The way I think about it is, healthcare should have no limits. And it is our joint responsibility, whether it is Elekta and GE Healthcare and all other medtech manufacturers which are providing care to oncology patients, to take us to the state where healthcare has no limits. I think when I look at it from a standpoint of being able to prevent, being able to predict, being able to deliver precise care, we have tremendous new innovations which are coming out into the market in each of these pillars to make sure that we are able to prevent, predict, and ensure that we give precise care to the patients. I think that is going to be driven by both new technologies, applications of artificial intelligence and machine learning to integrate the data across the workflow on existing patients. And given that India has such high volume of patients, it is going to be a cradle for those kinds of innovations originating from India, which will transform the way the care pathway works, which will transform the outcomes that patients get, not only in India, but actually going to get exported from India across the world. I think that's number one. Number two, as we learn about this multifaceted disease, which evolves due to the mutations throughout, we are going to develop more and more applications, software applications, which allow us to be able to further personalize care for the nature of the patients which are there in India, for the nature of the population that is there in India, for the gene pools that are there in India, and for the nature of disease manifestations which are observed in India, which may be different from other countries. And I think that is going to be the second big leap that is going to happen, which is personalization of care based upon evidence for patients in India. And the last, but the very least, is, and this is an aspirational goal, as started by saying that healthcare should have no limits. I certainly hope that in India, in the future, and I hope it is in the near term future, we have essentially a circumstance where cancer gets detected maybe in a larger pool of population as more undetected people get access to care. But we are able to accomplish, because of the medtech industry, because of the healthcare providers, because of the government interventions, and because of patients' responsibility to get care early, we are able to get to a circumstance where cancer is not viewed as a death sentence, but is something that we are able to live by. And I think that is the future that I'm hoping for based upon all the innovations that we are focusing on.
It would definitely motivate a lot of cancer fighters right now who would be listening to this episode. Thank you so much for your time, gentlemen. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Chaitanya and Mani, for sharing such valuable information. Through this, we have not just explored the incredible advancements in oncology, but also understood the challenges of advancing oncology through AI and precision care. Your expertise has enriched our exploration and left us with deeper understanding of the potential and challenges that lie ahead.
So that's that for this episode. We really hope that you enjoyed what we discussed. And if you have suggestions in terms of what more we can cover as part of our podcast, do let us know. You can catch me at Distant Vicinity on Twitter and at Shovik Das on Instagram. Thank you so much. See you next time.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.